Good morning, everybody. Get out of bed. It's going to be at least 50 degrees today. It's going to warm right up, and you can get out there and head out to the stream and do a little fishing and, you know, enjoy your weekend. It looks like it's going to be the warmest one we've had in quite a while. So I hope you get up and get out and at least get your license and, you know, go get some bait and hook up and head out and do, you know, just enjoy yourself this weekend. I hope you're able to do so. I did actually sneak out to a couple places this week. Yesterday I went out to Daniel's at the suggestion of Billy down at Clyde Sports Shop. And explored that area a little bit, saw a couple spots out there where there seemed to be some fellas fishing. I didn't see but one trout being caught. And that's, you know, it's kind of a nice area. You got to explore a couple spots out there. The dam is nice. It wasn't crowded. I'm sure it will be today. Understood they stocked it. The limit is two trout. So, you know, you can enjoy your day out there. I did go up to Red Bridges. I think we were up there on Wednesday. That, I believe, is Caroline County. I met Dale from Denton. You know, he moved to Easton. We fished for a little while, maybe, I don't know, an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. Not much success. Had one little bump, one little hit on a minnow, but we didn't catch anything. So we don't know if it was a bluegill or, you know, pickerel or something, but we're hearing scattered reports of yellow perch being caught here and there, but you know, the commercial guys aren't catching too many. The pound netters, the fike netters are not doing so well. They've extended the commercial yellow perch season because of the weather. Now we do know the gill netters are almost tapped out, almost limited out, but that's a whole different fishing process and a whole different way to get the fish. They can set the gill nets in the deeper holes and come up with the fish as they swim in. So, you know, it's it's an interesting year for yellow perch. So we'll see what happens there. So I did get out. I told you I was going to do a little bit more fishing this year, which I have done. And so far, now, you know, whether we'll maintain that or not, I don't know. But I'm going to give it the old shot. While I was at Red Bridges, I was throwing a inline spinner and got snagged. I'm not shocked at getting snagged, you know, and especially in the spring because of all the debris in the water. So I noticed I was snagged on some fishing line, and the fishing line went across the mouth of the, or across the whole width of the creek there, the river. Actually, it's a Choptank River. And so I thought, well, you know, that's not right. So they broke the line, of course, couldn't get it off of there. So I walked over closer to where this occurred and threw another spinning lure out there and hooked that thing again and was actually able to bring that line in and grab it. It was probably somewhere around 40 to 50 pound test. And it was caught in a tree on one side of the river, went across all the way across the river and downstream where it would have been. So I grabbed it and I started to pull and started to pull. It was snagged up on the other end. So I had some give though, and I just worked it and worked it and worked. By the end of the day, I had probably 50, 60 yards of snarled up heavy gauge line. God knows what that person was fishing for in that little creek, little part of the river up there, and was able to cut it off and free the river of that big giant mess of line. So I, you know, Dale took a picture of me holding that mess up, and I don't know where I'll post it, if I'll post it, but it was pretty dramatic. So I'm glad I got that before it caused the rest of the fishermen problems here on the onset of the perch run. So that was fun. And same thing happened at Daniel's yesterday. I found a snarl line at somebody. Like, guys, look, you break off your line, And it happens. But don't leave it wrapped around whatever. If you can get it and reach it and take care of it, take care of it. Get it out of there. It's not right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Also went to the, I was busy this week, went to the public hearing on the wildlife regulations. What an interesting time that was. I went to the Quality Deer Management Association meeting, the final meeting before their banquet tonight at Pool Road in Westminster at the VFW on Pool Road, and you're certainly welcome to attend that if you'd like. Doors open at 5. Good dinner, good fellowship, good stuff, and you could win some, great prizes or, participate in any of the live or silent auctions, and you'll just have a good time. And you'll get to hear me do my master ceremonies duties, which I did on Sunday at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Baltimore banquet, and had a great time there, too, in Clarksville. Jeff in Baltimore, thanks for the call, buddy. What's going on?
How you doing, sir? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Trying to stay awake here on my night shift and maybe get out. And I was looking to try a new haunt for some trout fishing, and I was wondering what you thought, or maybe some of your guests have some clues. I'm trying to find new places instead of this region. Up there in Cecil County, that Principio Creek. And
yep.
There's some common areas to be known, or maybe some back areas.
No, I don't know where you fished before, so I don't know what a new area is.
I've been up on the Gunpowder, all the greater Baltimore areas here.
Yeah, have you done the Daniels area?
Sure, I used to go there when I was a kid and go cruising down there and catching bass and sunfish and hanging out in the summer, and I hadn't had much fortune there recently.
I did see one guy catch a trout yesterday at the at the bridge there upstream from the dam, so.
Yeah, it's a big. I like to go there, but also further down out of the Elk Ridge area.
Yeah,
I mean that's a big. That's like a western river. It's quite a scene there.
It is. You're right.
A little different look, and haven't really explored too much up and down from that chain bridge that goes over the water. But it's a long river, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
It's very interesting to read about, and I don't know. I have to take a 10-day expedition up that thing someday.
But, exactly.
I'm just trying to change. I'm almost getting a little bored. Not that I catch a whole lot of fish, but I'm just getting a little bored of striking out at all the places around here. I figure I'd try and go somewhere else.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's lots of area. There's lots of put and take trout streams out here. Have you gone up around the Frederick area and fished up in the Catoctin Creeks?
Yeah, I have. I love it out there.
Okay.
I'll be looking forward to it. I like to stay out in Thurmont and go ahead and you can hit Owens Creek, big hunting, and then the golf course right down the street, and all within 10 minutes of the little restaurant that's famous there.
Oh yeah,
hotel that I won't mention.
Yeah, thank you.
But that's a great little spot. If I ever disappear, I'll either be in that little town or Havre de Grace, hiding from the world, or Northeast Maryland.
There you go.
No tolls on the street. What do you call it? Meters. But yeah, as the Principio Creek, how would you maybe describe that and the gradient and I don't know yourself or anybody else that's been up there.
I have not. I don't know how to answer that question.
Oh.
I know it's a popular spot for the folks up there who like to trout fish. You know, a lot of those folks travel to Tuckahoe and fish the spillway for trout when they stock that. I don't know if you've been over to the to that part of the Eastern Shore and fished that particular spillway there. At Tuckahoe State Park, but that's a pretty lively little place too. Go during the middle of the week, you don't get a lot of traffic, but the creek that you mentioned in Cecil County, I know they stock it, but I've not, the only creek that I've paid any attention to up there and have not fished is the one that runs through Fair Hill, the wildlife management area up there, and I understand that's stocked, I think. I'm not sure if they still stock it or not. It used to be, but
Well, and of course tomorrow I think is the last day before then there's going to be the first closing.
Right.
Starting the night, so you can bet tomorrow is going to look like the mall out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question, depending on the weather. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tough day to fish.
Yeah, of course, the beginning of the week, maybe there'll be some, it's supposed to be very nice, and some of these places that aren't under the number one closing restrictions could be a good spot to go, or
exactly.
The golf course.
Yep.
One or the other.
we're going to have a guest here very shortly talk about trout fishing in Maryland, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yep.
cool. Well, have a good
stocking program. I think next week. So, yep.
All right. Wonderful.
All right, buddy.
I look forward to the rest of the show. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Bye bye. There he goes. All right. So anyway, went to the hearing, the public hearing, and Department of Natural Resources put on a very nice presentation. There was some contention about a number of those issues that are on the website, on our website, and you have till the 17th if you'd like to comment publicly on some of those issues, including the antler restriction on one of your three bucks during the deer season, including the hunting privilege suspension. Including the winter proposal for a winter turkey season. And, you know, you're certainly welcome to comment as well. But I listened with interest to some folks who were commenting on the deer regulations. The proposal is statewide to say one of the three deer that are available to you during the season, whether it's during the bow season, muzzleloader season, or firearm season, one of those three must be a deer that has at least three points on one side, 3 1-inch points on one side, which means it's got to be at least a 6 point, okay? And the some of the comments were unbelievable. And I tried to, it's going through my mind, what's going on with this? And one guy in particular caught my attention. Now, according to him, he didn't kill any bucks last year. Okay, that's fine. But he was adamant and vehement, really angry, as were several people, that this proposal would be offered. That it was, constraining our rights to do what we wanted to do. And, you know, keep in mind, hunting is a privilege. You pay for a license to have the privilege to hunt all of Maryland's. Everybody who lives in Maryland owns the wildlife resources, so you pay for the privilege to harvest those surplus animals. And the Department of Natural Resources Wildlife and Heritage Service does have the authority to regulate the seasons, the weapons, and the bag limits. Some of the other things they don't. For example, Sunday hunting. That's all done through the General Assembly. That is a statute or a law, whereas regulations are run by Maryland Department of Natural Resources. And I finally figured it out. I probably knew it, but I finally figured it out what it was. And here was the comment. Here was the comment that had a light bulb moment. The comment was, well, O'Malley's trying to get my pension now. And related it to hunting. And I thought, you know, here's a wildlife biologist, state employee charged with watching over our wildlife, dealing with hunters, making sure it's fair across the board for everybody, making sure that they make as many opportunities for people to hunt as they possibly can, as many recreational days as possible. Trying to not only manage the people and manage the deer herd, but manage the emotions of people. And here is a person who's a biologist, who's worked his way up through the ranks to become one of these managers of one of these programs. And now, rather than being in the field and doing the work that he studied to do, he's in front of people who are not happy with him because of decisions that were made above his pay grade, and he is the one who is putting the reasoning out and the proposal out in front of them. But all in all, that biologist, that project manager, that program manager, is the only face of the administration that these people see. And if they're angry about something that the administration has done, whether it's the rain tax, whether it's some tax or fee or something that they've imposed or restriction or gun ban or whatever it might be, the face of the state is standing in front of them telling them that they have a change in the way that they've always done something. Am I making my point? Am I getting through? I want to make sure that you're understanding what I'm saying. If the deer project leader, the waterfowl project leader, the game bird manager, the whatever, the bear manager, the fur trapper manager, fur bear manager, is standing in front of an audience, a diverse audience who've been invited to a public meeting to comment on a proposal that will affect what they do and how they do what they do, that state employee becomes the face of the administration who, however you view that, you may already be angry for some reason. You know, you might have got your driver's license renewal in the mail and it went up, or you might have got your tax bill, or you might have just been to your accountant and your state taxes are X, or you might have read something in the paper that got your attention, or you might just be angry, an angry person, and showed up at the meeting to take out your, to vent your frustrations on some state employee who works for Wildlife Department, Wildlife and Heritage Service, and now they've invited you to comment on something and they want to write down your comments. Well, this one guy, you know, O'Malley, he's getting in my pension. Well, didn't have a damn thing to do with what we were talking about. However, the guy continued, and I'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is Kent Island's largest, has Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and hunting and crabbing supplies. And right now, you can do what I did and go buy some Drake apparel. Now, they particularly focus on waterfowl hunting, and they've got some great waterproof stuff. They've got bibs and overalls and jackets. All, listen to this, if you're a waterfowl hunter and you like Drake clothing, 40% off the remaining stock of Drake waterfowl clothing this week, starting this weekend. I'll tell you what, I got myself a jacket the other day. There it is right there. See that, Brian? You see that jacket? Pretty nice jacket. Yeah. Waterproof, mid-weight. You know, it's great. So, Drake waterfowl clothing, 40% off all remaining Drake. There's also some Under Armour there. We can't tell you what your savings would be on that, but that's going to be specially priced as well. Now, you can also check it out. Get ready for perch or trout fishing. You could check out the Zinc Avian X decoys, shotguns for turkey hunting, spanking striper lures, trolling lures for stripers. You know, they got the Bubba Blade knives for fish filleting, if you want to do that, Barnett, Mission, Parker, Matthews, all those bow brands. Chesapeake Outdoors, want to check it out. They're located on Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road at Chester, Maryland. The number, if you'd like to check them, is 410-604-2500. Call them up and ask if they've got your size. Why not? But they did have a good selection of Drake at 40% off. That's Chesapeake Outdoors. Right across the bridge on the Eastern Shore, exit 39B, Dominion Road, 410. You can see them right along the road. You get down there, you turn in the exit there at the Exxon, go around behind, and there they are. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, if you're going out fishing this weekend, just remember it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Now, new this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And you can check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center. That's the guy you get your license from. Or check the fishing rule book or visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award. Award program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Okay, so we're talking about this one guy who was very vocal in the public meeting about the deer regulation. He was opposed, as were his buddies. They were all opposed to any restriction you're going to put on any kind of deer hunting. You know, we're talking about one out of three deer that has an antler restriction. And the illustration went up. We're not talking about a giant 8-point buck that, you know, nobody's ever going to see. We're talking about a deer that has a 1-inch brow tine, a 1-inch G2, and a main beam. That's 3 points. That's the antler restriction. That's what we're talking about. 6-point. So he's tossing out words. He's tossing out little catchphrases. And I wanted to see what he meant, because I'd not really heard too much about this. But he goes, yeah, there's too much horn porn and antler envy out there. I thought, horn porn? What is he talking about? What's he talking about, horn porn? Is there too much emphasis on big antlers on TV and in all the magazines? Absolutely. Hey, but nobody goes out there and says, boy, I can't wait till deer season. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been watching this little 4-point, and I think I'm probably going to be able to get him. Nobody goes out there and says, man, I got a lot of pictures of a 5-point on my trail camera. But boy, there's a monster spike I want to get. Nobody says that. Any reasonable person. Why are you there? You want to kill a nice buck. Everybody wants to kill a nice buck. I don't mind shooting a lesser buck. I don't mind shooting a doe for meat. I mean, if somebody's going to shoot a deer for meat, shoot a doe by all means, you know. And I'm not certainly one that's going to restrict your, you know, your privilege to do that at all. But when you start tossing around horn porn and antler envy, I'm not sure what you think in your mind or what you who you think you're trying to impress, but I looked up horn porn. First definition of horn porn in the Urban Dictionary. The act of watching video footage or witnessing vehicles that are equipped with their train horns and watching videos of them in action. And then according to the Urban Dictionary, and I'm quoting here, yo, look at that Honda scaring the crap out of the people in the parking garage. That's horn porn right there. So I'm not sure what that had to do with deer hunting. Well, then there's a person by the name of Horn Porn. His name is Pierre Horn, a.k.a. Horn Porn, and he is a young techno producer. He started to produce in the summer of 2009 with apparently a techno group called Reason, and now he's released some great labels like Butane Underscore and Capsula, for those of you in the techno world, which I don't assume too many of you are. You'll probably get that. Brian and I were trying to download a little bit of his music, if you want to call it music. Go to YouTube and Google, you know, do YouTube Horn Porn, and you'll see why we're not playing any. Look, take a stethoscope and listen to your heartbeat. You pretty much got it, you know. And then there's hornporn.com, which is actually a company that sells caps and T-shirts with a big deer in the middle of them, and one side says horn and the other side says porn. And the owner, who doesn't sign it, there's no name. When you read, you know, you go to About Us, it says, "I don't know where I got the love for hunting. My folks were farmers, not hunters. Growing up on a farm in Ohio, I hunted birds with a BB gun and did some trapping. We moved to Arizona when I was 11 years old." And then it goes on. So that was pretty much it for Horn Porn. No hunting sites other than that guy selling T-shirts and caps. Okay. Then I looked up Antler Envy. There's too much porn and Antler Envy out there. Okay. AntlerEnvy.com. He is a guy by the name of Brady Stuve. He's located in west central Minnesota. His occupation is farming and seed and insurance sales. And he's a deer nut. Okay? So if you want to talk about deer hunting or QDM, call him up and he'll talk with you. There you go. On Amazon.com, there's a print called Antler Envy by a Asian artist, I guess, by the name of TSAI-FI. It's a little girl and a little deer, and she's holding a pair of horns on her cap and looking at the little tiny deer standing there. I don't know. It's called Antler Envy. And then we get into a little bit of the hunting part of it. There's Archery Talk Forum. ArcheryTalk.com, dated February 14, 2005. And it's several pages talking about antler envy. And on it goes about, I know who you are. As soon as you posted your picture online, I knew who did it. That was my buck, and I knew who took the picture. And if you're going to trash someone in a public forum, be a man and own up to it is. Sad part is the 10 minutes that I met and known you, I actually thought you were a decent person. Also, before making accusations about other people, maybe you try looking at yourself in the mirror. And on it goes. Remember, I'm a good friend with your cousin, blah, blah, blah. And then we go to huntingnet.com, December 10, 2008. It's called Antler Envy and Hunter Hate. And this kind of speaks to it a little bit. This was posted by a senior member by the name of Buck Magnet, who was 3,656 posts on this forum. What do you think that guy does with his spare time? 3,656 posts on huntingnet.com. And this is what I've been telling you all along about these forums. It's the same six guys that go back and forth and back and forth. And this guy had a comment that I will read. People are turning hunting into work instead of just going out and enjoying it. I took my rifle out this season and forgot just how much fun it is just to go sit on the edge of a hillside. No scent killer, no camo, no play in the wind, just me sitting in the woods waiting to see a deer. I wasn't worried about it being rut, pre-rut, post-rut. I wasn't concerned about herd size, deer density, buck-to-doe ratios, deer age, travel patterns, bedding areas, feeding areas, etc. I just wanted to relax and hope for the best. I wasn't working to try and achieve a goal. I was just enjoying my time in the woods. More people should learn to do this and put less importance on achieving a goal that magazine and television shows have created. Okay. And one more. Friar Michael Sliney. He's the chaplain of Lumen-Manhattan, lumeninstitute.org, Antler Envy. dear friends of Lumen, as a moth gnaws a garment, so doth envy consume a person. St. John Chrysostom. Don't waste time and energy being envious of things that in the big picture really do not matter. Good looks, material possessions, attractive personalities, etc. Rather focus on the higher gifts, the deep virtues of others, and try and learn from them and imitate them instead of trying to bring that person down. God bless. Why that was entitled Antler Envy, I don't know. So anyway, what do you think the guy's point was? I think I hit it. The official standing in front of him, making a proposal that he believed infringed on some kind of right that he had to become a hunter or to be a hunter or to participate in hunting, limited him in some degree. So he threw out all these terms, horn porn, antler envy, O'Malley's trying to get my pension, and so forth. And I think I finally hit a key. All right, change of topic, please. Call me. Tell me what you think of what I just said, if you want. Tell me if you looked at the website. Tell me if you have any comments on any of the proposals. And we'll keep going. 410-922-6680. That's it. The Midwinter Waterfowl Survey has been conducted. Looked like a pretty good year. And every winter, aerial survey teams of pilots and biologists from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources make visual estimates of ducks, swans, and geese along Maryland's Chesapeake Bay shoreline and the Atlantic coast. This year, the teams witnessed more than 905,000 waterfowl, 22% higher than those observed in January 2013, which was 739,600. Biologists attribute the higher count to the fact that many species flock to Maryland's portion of the Chesapeake Bay due to severe winter conditions to the north. Additionally, large areas of the bays and tributaries were ice-covered during the survey, concentrating the waterfowl in ice-free open waters where they were more easily counted. The survey estimates for mallards, black ducks, and canvasbacks were the highest they've been since the mid-70s. Overall, dabbling ducks were more abundant this time around, 128,000, compared to 72,800 last winter. There were nearly twice as many diving ducks this survey. That's 190,300 over last year's 98,100. The canvasback count, 68,400, was the highest since the mid-60s. And far greater than the January 2013 estimate of 18,400. Survey teams also observed large numbers of wintering Canada geese, 512,100 Canada geese along the upper Chesapeake Bay. The extensive snow and ice in northern latitudes pushed large numbers of geese south to the Chesapeake from their normal wintering areas in southern Ontario and the Finger Lakes region of New York. The Midwinter Waterfowl Survey has been conducted annually throughout the United States since the early 50s. The Maryland survey results are ultimately pooled with other states' results to provide a measure of the distribution, the population size of wintering waterfowl on the Atlantic Flyway, as well as information on long-term trends. Final midwinter survey numbers for other Atlantic states may be viewed on the Department of Natural Resources website. If you have an interest in a particular duck or goose, I'm more than glad to share that with you, but I give you some of the highlights there. So 410-922-6680 is our phone number. 410-WCBM-680. 1-800-922-6680 is also our phone number, and you're welcome to give us a call. We'd love to hear your comments on anything that I might have suggested there this morning. I know I got a little deep into it, but, you know, what I noticed is that there are people who are perpetually pissed off that come to these meetings. I mean, it doesn't matter if you talk to them before, during, or after the meeting. They're angry. Angry, 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 angry. And a lot of them are angry about different things. And are some of the same people that are angry every public meeting that you attend, whether it's waterfowl, whether it's, you know, the public proposals for the changing of the seasons or whatever it might be. You know, always calling into question, always, you know. I don't know. barking up the wrong tree? You tell me. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. It is the concluding weekend of their 10-day sale. It's all over. Sunday at 5. Done. That's right. Half-price fishing line, it's over tomorrow. The Penreel Specials, the GT330 at $89.95, and the Sarga Spinning Reels at from $49.95. Yep. Trolling combos, $79.95 and up, all over. Ugly stick sale, over. Why not stop by this weekend? You want to go fishing anyway. You can stop by. You can get some bait. You can get your license. You can check out all the new tackle. You can get a little jar of power bait or pick up some bull minis for perch fishing or whatever you might want to do. And while you're there, you could save money on some of the great stuff they've got on sale. The store's been totally rearranged. All the rods and reels are on display right up front. You can drop off your rod or reel for repair if you need a new tip, you need a new guide, if you need your reels cleaned and lubed, if you need new line. Well, like I said, you can save on premium monofilament. Get that for half price. Just take your empty spool in and they will fill it, starting at just 1 cent per yard. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Phone 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And their 24-hour fishing hotline is 410-247-FISH. 247-3474 for the latest fishing report. Check it out. And their website, ClydeSports.com.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W.
On the next Sean and Frank, the latest developments out of Ukraine, the CPAC straw poll winner, and 1 month to go in the Maryland General Assembly. Monday morning, 6 to 9 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Was it, Doc? dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
'Cause we got a little convoy.
Why don't you join our convoy right here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good.
I trust you made it home the other day.
Oh, just fine, yes. And thank your lovely wife for that great sandwich. It was delicious.
Well, I'm staring at the last piece of pie, but since you're not here, I guess I'll take
I guess
care
you'll
of
have to eat that coconut pie, I guess.
So. Yeah, I guess I'll take care of that myself.
All right, then.
Alan, I heard a thing on Salisbury Station last night about another reported case of CWD in Western Maryland.
That's correct.
I didn't get the details. I was in another room, so I wondered if you had heard about it.
I did. The CWD was found in one of the regular surveys out there. It was in Allegheny County. It was about 10 miles from the original, I believe, about 10 miles away from the original case. Now, I've been in contact with wildlife officials, and they were nailing down the exact location, the farm, and so forth this past week. I haven't heard back. Now, that information came out late in the week, but it's in that same basically on the western zone of the CWD area out there.
Okay.
So they don't know what they're going to do, whether they're going to expand that CWD zone or just how they're going to deal with that. Of course, CWD has been found in two deer in Maryland.
Right.
Out of the 7,500 they surveyed last year, that was the one that came back positive. And again, from that same general area as the first one was found. Keep in mind, this is almost right across the river from West Virginia, where they've been,
right.
I don't know,
yeah.
8 or 10 cases now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out what's going on with that and why, whether it's heavy baiting, whether there's, you know, some kind of deer farm. Who I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they know the answer to that.
Any particulars on the deer?
It was an adult doe,
size?
From what I understood.
A doe.
Yeah, it was an adult doe. And I'm sure that the guy that shot it was upset about it, as I would be, but it is what it is, and you do what you do. CWD is so rare, and in that zone, of course, those precautions are taken with those animals to ensure that none of it gets into the food stream.
Right. You say you don't have any details in terms of deer farm or baiting or anything.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I know the cases in Pennsylvania were outliers from a deer farm. One of them was found on a deer farm. Pennsylvania is rife with deer farms, and I can drive you by three or four of them in a couple hours journey. And if you go up to further up into Bedford County and places like that, I mean, you'll see elk and deer and everything, all these captive animals. And I just, I don't like the practice myself. I don't like to think that, I want to go to some guy's 200-acre farm, high-fence farm, and, pay big money to shoot an elk or a deer or a sheep or something like that.
That's
it's just not to me. It's not hunting, But that's me.
Yeah,
and people like to do that, I guess, for some reason. So, okay, do it. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But, no, the answer is this was a wild deer. Again, it was almost 10 miles. I don't know if that's by road or crow flies from the last case, which was 5-6 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been about that long.
Yeah, something like that. And, they're tracking down the details. They're interviewing the I knew that they were speaking to either the father or the brother, some relative of the person who shot the deer, and were going to the site and finding out exactly where that was.
So. Okay, well, it sounds like they're on top of it.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
That's good.
Definitely.
Thanks for the update.
Sure, buddy. Anytime.
Talk to you later.
Yep, thanks. Tom in Pasadena, how are you, Tom?
Good morning, Alan. Nice to hear from you again today.
Yes, sir. What's up?
I want to make a comment about that individual guy there talking at the meeting,
Yeah.
Just make it simple and sweet, Every bushel's got a bailing in it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't catch a fish, that's what, he opens his mouth, he's got him figured out.
I said, how many bucks did you kill last year?
Haters got to hate.
I didn't get any.
Haters got to hate.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I want to tell you now. Thanks a lot for making the legend put me in that magazine.
Did you see it yet?
Oh, God, yeah, it was great, man. My whole family's, like, running around. I was like, save some magazines for the other people, man. That's, you know what I mean?
That's funny. Good for you.
Thank you. That was really kind of you.
Yeah, Bud's going to open up this week, so I'll be down there.
Yeah, so I'll look for you.
All right, thanks.
Good day.
See you, Tom. Maryland Natural Resources Police charged... issued citations for hunting violations in Frederick County and on the Lower Eastern Shore. In Frederick County, NRP officers last week charged Carl Andrew Werzer, W-R-Z-E-R, of Union Bridge with running an unlicensed guide business. Werzer had offered his services on an online Maryland hunting forum, promising to supply the blind to decoys and calling for $150 per gun, with half off that price if the customers did not shoot. The listing said that the fee was a donation to a Frederick County farm. Posing as inexperienced hunters, officers contacted Werzer and arranged to meet him at a supermarket parking lot at 6 a.m. on February 19th to hand over payment, a check made out to Werzer, for the upcoming outing. The officers and Werzer met on the afternoon of February 26th. It's the same parking lot and drove to the farm. While setting up the decoys, Werzer showed the officers feathers from where he cleaned four geese for a group of clients just 2 days earlier. When asked, Werzer said he'd been guiding clients since 2005 and considered it more of a hobby than a business. Uniform officers arrived, and Werzer told them the group was just hunting as friends and no money was being exchanged. The officers identified themselves and charged Werzer. The maximum fine for first offense is $1,500. He's scheduled to appear in Carroll District Court on May 23rd. In Worcester County on Sunday, officers issued citations to Cody Wayne Smith, 19, of Berlin, after he admitted to killing mallard ducks in Bishopville. Smith was charged with hunting and possessing waterfowl during closed season and hunting waterfowl on Sunday. On the same day, officers issued multiple citations to a juvenile who illegally shot a Canada goose in West Ocean City. The juvenile and his father told officers that the goose was killed near a fast food restaurant with an air-powered pellet gun. The juvenile was charged with hunting and possessing waterfowl during closed season, hunting waterfowl on Sunday, hunting without a license, hunting waterfowl without a federal stamp, and a violation of firearms restriction. Cases being referred to juvenile services. So, just doing what it says to do here at the end of this press release. Be sociable. Share. That's what I'm doing. I'm sharing with you.
Just a good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. Well, that's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Shot a goose near a fast food restaurant with a BB gun. What the hell was his father doing?
I had me a quarter pounder, and a large fry, and a milkshake, and there's too much horn porn and antler envy out there.
How'd you like to be the guy of the goose guide, allegedly? Hey, no money changed hands. We did that a week ago, you know. And they're just friends. They're all hunting together. They're all NRP cops, but they're friends, perhaps. Maryland Natural Resources Police charged five Queen Anne's County watermen Wednesday with illegally taking 51 bushels of oysters from a protected area near the mouth of the Wicomico River within Tangier Sound. Acting on a tip, officers used the Maritime Law Enforcement Information Network, M-Line, series of radar units and cameras to track several work boats patent tonguing in the remote 69-acre Evans Oyster Harvest Reserve area. Once officers established and recorded the boat's activities, they moved in and issued citations. The message is out, said Colonel George F. Johnson IV, NRP superintendent. Whether it's patrolling the waters, checking seafood trucks on the highways and back roads, or conducting surveillance from the air with M-Line, we will do whatever necessary within the law to protect Maryland's natural resources. Ryan Daniel Baxter, 20, Queen Anne, one count each of harvesting oysters from an oyster reserve area and possession of uncalled oysters, and two equipment violations. Benjamin Leonard Reel, 26, Rock Hall, and Adam Vincent Reel, 21, of Church Hill, R-E-I-H-L, were charged with harvesting oysters from an oyster reserve area and possession of uncalled oysters. The three watermen are scheduled to appear in Somerset District Court on May 13th. Harvey Thomas Bowers, 49, of Chestertown, and George Albert Lee, 45, of Dominion, were charged with harvesting oysters from an oyster reserve area and failure to tag oysters prior to leaving the oyster bar. They're scheduled to appear in Somerset District Court on June 10th. The oysters were seized and returned to the Evans Harvest Reserve. 2010, the Oyster Restoration Aquaculture Development Plan, fostered by Governor O'Malley, contained a robust enforcement component to protect these resources and their habitat. Reserve areas are set aside by the DNR regulations for special management. With less than 1 month left in the season, most oyster bars have very few market-sized oysters left. Opening a few areas late in the season gives watermen more bottom on which to work. These areas are typically provide a boost in harvest for a few days at a time when bushel prices are high. Nine managed reserve areas were scheduled to open for harvest on March 7th, but at the request of Somerset County Oyster Committee, the Evans Bar was delayed until March 24th. These watermen apparently chose not to wait. Watermen who jumped the gun deprive hardworking, honest watermen a chance to harvest. State records indicate that over the past 6 years, Benjamin Reel's been convicted of numerous oyster and fishing violations, including fishing without a commercial license. He failed to appear in St. Mary's District Court last fall on a charge of taking oysters from a sanctuary. Court records show Adam Reel is also facing October 2013 charges in St. Mary's County of possessing a harvest containing 15% undersized oysters and failure to appeal in court. Bowers has been found guilty of 24 oyster, crab, and clam violations dating back to 1992. Lee has been found guilty of several natural resources violations. I'm being sociable, and I'm sharing. And we would play I Fought the Law, but the law won. But we're out of time. My bad. All right. If you have to leave us, get out, stay safe if you're going fishing today. We'll be back with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show in the next hour.